Welcome to The Intuitive Customer, where we discuss how you can improve your customer experience and your bottom line. And now, here are your hosts, award-winning influencer and pioneering author of 7 books, Colin Shaw and Professor Ryan Hamilton from Emory University.
Let me be clear. The phrase, job to be done, yes, the customer has a job to be done. I can understand that the customer has a job to be done. Some getting your head around what the bloody job is, as I think you and I have talked about in the past, is sometimes difficult.
The insight that you mentioned earlier is that it will vary by segment. That has to be a part of this. So there is not a job to be done by a Gucci wallet. There are several segments who would consider buying a Gucci wallet, and each of them may have a different job to be done by that product. Whereas this milkshake, you know, you drink a little bit, you put it back in your cup holder, you drink a little bit more. It's something to do with your hands. It keeps you occupied. So from that perspective...
What do you mean, other than driving?
Well, that more or less takes care of itself these days.
Ryan, we have one of our videos today.
Excellent.
I'm starting to enjoy these. So for those of you that don't know, this is what we are calling None of Us Are As Clever As All of Us. Okay. So this is where we've been asking people to submit ideas, thoughts, opinions, reports, statistics, whatever it is, and just sort of effectively virtually come on the show and give us a view as to what they think. We're then obviously going to publicize it and use it. So hopefully they gain a bit out of it by using the platform, my platform of getting out to 293,000 followers, as it is on LinkedIn now.
There's a lot of
83,000 subscribers. Yeah. God. I tell you what, my mum's been really busy setting up all those profiles. And
ever since she learned how to operate AI chatbots, it's really sped up the process for her. We love hearing from our listeners, but mostly this is an opportunity for Colin and I to not have to listen to each other for just a few brief minutes as we do this. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, not to be able to talk to Ryan for 5 minutes.
Not to hear Colin's voice. Oh, goodness.
This video is about a process called Jobs to be Done. And Eckhart Boomer, who's going to introduce himself in the video, is going to explain it. So we'll pick it up after we hear from Eckhart.
Hi, I'm Eckhart Boomer, founder and managing director of UniPro Solutions. We believe that many organizations struggle to understand how customers want to improve their lives and to translate insights to an effective product, marketing, and sales strategy. We help organizations to grow faster by helping them to align with customers around their jobs to be done. So what is a job to be done? You can imagine a job to be done as an expected outcome. It represents the reason why someone buys or uses a product or service. A popular example of a job to be done is hiring a milkshake in the morning. The job a milkshake serves in the morning is not only to make me feel full, but also to entertain me on my boring drive to work. The better you understand the job to be done, the better you can design the customer experience related to the job. In the milkshake example, you can think about improving the customer experience by making the straw thinner or by making the drink less viscous so it takes longer to consume. My experience with Jobs to be Done started almost 8 years ago. I studied the subject inside out. I trained and consulted companies from startups to enterprises. I even had the honor to help translate Clayton Christensen's book, Competing Against Luck, into German. But I also felt it takes too long to explain what job to be done is, and also there was no standard way of applying it. So in summer of 2009, my business partner and I, we started to develop a new tool. We called it the Wheel of Progress Canvas. The Wheel of Progress is a business tool that helps you to understand customer progress. It combines 4 phases of the customer journey with jobs to be done. It also helps to foster collaboration by visualizing the stories of customers struggling to make progress. It also makes the data more actionable by dividing it into 12 variables. Here's an example of how the process helped to create breakthrough insights. In a study about finding a care solution for an elderly loved one, we learned that finding a new place was not the main job to be done. A much more important yet unarticulated customer job was to ensure a dignified last phase of life. On the basis of the Wheel of Progress, we developed a lean 5-step strategy development process. It consists of leading interviews, combining interview data, prioritizing customer jobs, and using the data to create strategy. The benefits are that your strategy is 100% based on data that matters. It creates a holistic perspective on the customer trying to make progress, and it aligns your organization around a shared purpose, the customer job to be done. Now, since a few months, we have an AI companion that helps to streamline the process by helping to analyze and aggregate the data. I hope I could get you excited about jobs to be done and our application method.
So Ryan, I know this is something that you teach, isn't it? Or jobs to be done is something you teach. Do you want to explain to everybody a bit more?
Let me start with my introduction to the jobs to be done framework. So the first time I ever heard about it was several years ago. I was on a consulting engagement and the client was very excited that they just started using this jobs to be done framework in their training and teaching to their marketing folks. I hadn't heard of it at the time, and so I was asking them about it, and they were explaining it to me. And when they explained it to me and what it was, I said, oh, you mean like targeting and positioning? And they said, no, jobs to be done. I said, oh, okay, well, I guess I missed it. Explain it to me again. And they did, and I said, that sounds an awful lot like targeting, where you know what it is that your customers are seeking, what they're valuing, and then positioning, where you develop an offering that meets those needs. And I said, no, this is completely different. It's jobs to be done. As I read into it, and as Eckhart mentioned, this is an idea that was primarily developed by a guy at Harvard Business School named Clayton Christensen through several articles and a couple of books. And as I read through it, I became increasingly convinced there's nuance to it, but it's largely this idea that you need to understand what people want, and then you need to solve that problem for them. You need to deliver a solution to that. Now, it may sound like I'm criticizing jobs to be done framework from that perspective, because it's nothing new. That is not my perspective at all. So I think there are some really, really great ideas in business, among them like serving your customers very well and understanding your customers deeply. And there's this problem in business that a lot of us kind of want the new thing. If somebody comes to you and said, yeah, here's this great idea that's been around since the 1940s. People in business are like, yeah, we can't use that though. We're in like the modern era. We need something new. And so there are these people, these thought leaders who kind of repackage old ideas in a way that is more compelling, sounds fresher, sounds newer, adding nuance to it, and get people excited about these ideas again. And so from that perspective, I think it's great. I'll dig into what the framework is as I understand it and how I've taught it. But my headline message to anyone is, if this sounds like an interesting and exciting way to approach understanding your customers, great. Like, do it. The ideas that underlie it are very, very good. I will also say as a caveat, I think that there are other approaches that could get you to the same destination other than using jobs to be done. And I do think that there are a couple of hiccups to the framework itself. But overall, it's a great idea, kind of packaged in a new and interesting way.
Yeah, I think for me, the thing that I like about it is that it gets people to think at a different level rather than just a sort of a more task level. So in other words, and what I mean by that is it's not just about the price or the feature of the product. It actually makes you think about how is the customer going to use this?
Yes. I think that is the biggest strength of the framework, is that it reorients you away from the product and service and towards the customer motivation. And I think that is the strongest part of the framework, and I endorse that completely.
in case any of the listeners haven't heard of this, do you want to just go through it in a bit more detail?
Eckhart did a pretty good job giving us a thumbnail sketch. When I teach it, I do teach it as part of my positioning lecture. The framework, as I understand it, is when someone buys a product or a service, it's useful to think of framing that as them hiring the product or service to do a job for them, right? So he mentioned this weird milkshake in the morning example. Eckhart didn't pull that out of the air. This is actually something from the Clayton Christensen articles and books. They were hired by McDonald's to consult on how to increase milkshake sales. And when they observed how people were drinking milkshakes, they found that there is a portion of people who were buying milkshakes as part of their morning commute, which was shocking to me when I read it. But apparently this is the segment. It seems like a terrible way to start your day, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you want a happy meal, don't you? I mean, yeah, surely that's what you need.
I'm much more of a morning happy meal guy than I am. But hey, if that's what gets you through your day, is having a morning milkshake on your way. But he referenced, like, if we think about why we might drink a milkshake, like what is the job that's being fulfilled by that, the job that's being done by that? Their research uncovered that for some people, particularly those who buy milkshakes in the morning, part of the key job that was being done is just occupying them in the car. So if you had a banana for breakfast in your commute in, you would eat that in about 30 seconds, and then you'd be left with a, you know, greasy banana peel that you have to do something with. Whereas this milkshake, you know, you drink a little bit, you put it back in your cup holder, you drink a little bit more. It's something to do with your hands. It keeps you occupied. So from that perspective,
what you mean, other than driving?
Well, that more or less takes care of itself these days. But yes, other than driving, a way to distract yourself while you're driving around in a 15,000-pound vehicle. All right. So if your job to be done by this milkshake is to occupy people's time, then making that process slower actually makes the job, allows you to do the job better, right? So if we make the milkshake thicker or provide thinner straws, then it's going to last longer. It's going to occupy you more. So those are some very counterintuitive insights that are derived from this job to be done perspective. I can give you another example. The one that I talk to my students about is social media platforms. So I've got I show the logos of like a dozen different social media platforms. And I point out that if you stand back far enough and kind of squint, they all do the same thing. You know, they all allow you to share information, video, picture, or text information, or some combination of them, with a group of other people. Like, that's what they all do. And yet, do you hire Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn and Reddit to do the same job for you? And the answer is always no. I use these platforms to serve very different needs, right? And that's the big idea. Like, you're hiring, you wouldn't hire LinkedIn to do the same jobs that you would hire Twitch Floor or Imgur.
Yeah, you see, you just said a word there that I think is really interesting when you're having this discussion, because it's the word, and the word was need.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was always taught back in my early business career about features, advantages, and benefits. A feature is that this drill can work at certain temperatures or cuts through certain material. The advantage that is that you only need, it won't break. And the benefit is that you don't need to go down the shops and buy a new one or whatever it may be. Okay. Obviously, there's a lot of organizations that still work at the features and advantages bit. But for me, when you start to look at the word you just said, I need, that it starts to make you think about the underlying need. And this is where I think it becomes a sort of a bit more interesting of, well, what's that either underlying need, the unsaid need, or the unsaid and or the hidden motivation? And this is, I think, where you can disappear down a rabbit hole a bit. So let me give you an example. So one of the things I was, when I first learned about jobs to be done, was the example of the drill. Okay. Mm-hmm. So somebody putting up a picture of their family. Okay. So what they don't want is they're not looking for a hole in the wall. What they're looking for is to the job to be done is putting up the picture. Okay. Now, the interesting bit for me is, well, why do they want to put up a picture? And is that sort of, is there something that's more of a hidden motivation there? It could be about feeling close to your family, or it could be about remembering when the kids were young, or, you know, that sort of nostalgia bit. Or it could be about one of your family members is just about to come around your house and you better put that picture up of them that they sent you, you know, a little while ago. But you get the idea. Now, I mean, at the end of the day, those things are segmentation, more segmentation in terms of, well, actually all those things apply, and there must be different segments of the market that would need those. But I think overall, what the jobs to be done thing made me think about was, what's that underlying motivation? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And so again, we're repackaging some older ideas into a newer framework that hopefully will get people excited about them.
I think the issue for me is that sometimes it's about the way things are communicated. And the good thing about job to be done is it's simple to understand. Sorry, let me be clear.
Yeah.
The phrase job to be done, yes, the customer has a job to be done. I can understand that the customer has a job to be done. Some getting your head around what the bloody job is, as I think you and I have talked about in the past, is sometimes difficult, yeah, to teetle out. But the point I guess I'm trying to make is sometimes it's a bit like the iPhone. All of those technologies exist. So a smartphone, being able to touch the phone as opposed to having buttons, GPS, all those things existed. And what Jobs did was to, that's an unusual pun, isn't it? Putting it, Jobs to be done and Jobs, Steve Jobs, put it all together into one thing. And I think that's what this does for me, is it pulls things together. Does that make sense?
I agree that another strength of the framework is it's the concept is easy to understand. I explained to someone that, oh, when you hire or when you buy a product, you're hiring it to do a job for you. Like, oh, that makes sense. And a colleague of mine says, she always emphasizes part of the strength of this is don't just think about that initial hire. Like you've bought, I don't know, a snack chip, or you've bought a car. You did it so that it would do some job. Now you need to go back and it's time to buy another snack chip or buy another car. Do you rehire that same product or service? Like, did it do the job well enough for you that you want to go back and hire them again as if they were an employee? And I think that, again, I think that's a powerful way of thinking about it. Where you saw me about to go and where you wanted to complete your thought because you knew we were going to be off in another direction is exactly the point you made, where conceptually this is very simple to understand. And Eckhart actually made reference to this in his video. The trick with the Jobs to be Done framework, if I have a criticism of it, it tends to be difficult to implement for people. Eckhart even mentioned that they had to develop an entirely new framework to kind of add on to this framework in order to get it to work out. People can say, oh yeah, I get it. I'm hiring a product to do a job. But getting to that underlying motivation, getting to those kind of key insights is not simple. And the Jobs to be Done framework by itself, just understanding this conceptually, is not nearly enough. We need to dig into some pretty like deep research protocols to be able to generate the insights that'll produce something valuable using the Jobs to be Done framework.
Sure.
The strength is that it's conceptually easy to understand. One potential weakness is it maybe doesn't fully communicate within the framework how difficult it's going to be to get to those insights.
Those of you that want to talk to Eckhart further, then we'll obviously his details will be in the show notes. He did give us the Wheel of Progress, which we're going to include in our newsletter, which is actually out tomorrow, Why Customers Buy a Newsletter on LinkedIn. So you'll be able to see that. It's divided into four areas. This is a problem with podcasts, is you can't show them people a document, but it's divided into four areas, which are awareness, expectation, experience, and trade-offs. And I have to say, I don't know how it actually works in any detail. But as you say, I think it's interesting that they've produced that to try to simplify things. Ryan, I've got some interesting facts for you around the number of 80,000.
I'm happy to sit at your feet and learn your wisdom, Colin. What are these facts?
Did you know that 80,000 kilometers is the circumference of the Earth?
As far as you know, I did know that. Did you know, Colin, that 80,000 is roughly the population of Livermore, California, home of the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory Science Center?
No, I didn't. What's more incredible, Ryan, is 80,000 people is the number of people who have subscribed to the LinkedIn newsletter, Why Customers Buy, that I write every week.
Colin, if you were able to get all of your readers together, you could form your own city.
I could. And if we put them end to end, they may even go around the circumference of the Earth.
If they were all 1 kilometer tall, that is true.
So if you'd like to join the other 80,000 people who enjoy the Why Customers Buy newsletter each week, then simply go to LinkedIn, look up my name, and you'll see the newsletter there. We look forward to seeing you every week. Ryan, let me give you an example, because I was obviously doing my due diligence beforehand and I was thinking of some examples. The issue for me is, where does it stop? Okay. So for instance, if I was buying a high-end brand, a Gucci handbag or a Gucci wallet or, I don't know, something, you know, an expensive brand, okay? The interesting bit for me is, what's the job?
Yeah.
And it just made one of the things, so on one side you go, well, it's so I've got my credit cards available, and even saying that now makes me stop because I'm thinking, well, I don't really carry my wallet around anyway because I pay everything on Apple Pay. But let's go back a couple of years. Or carrying cash around with me. So, I don't know, let's say the availability of carrying cash or the, you know, a place to carry my wallet. But for me, there's, because you've bought a high-end brand,
yeah,
the job to be done is actually more around the status that you perceive it would give you. So the job to be done is actually improving. And to a certain extent, I could even argue it's actually about improving your self-esteem.
Yeah, I agree. No, nobody's buying a Gucci wallet to carry their credit cards. You could buy a much cheaper wallet if that was the job to be done. There are wallets out there for which that is the job. And you want it to carry your credit cards in a convenient way. But that's not a Gucci wallet, right? So if you're buying a Gucci wallet, I assume that the job to be done has to be image related. It makes you feel powerful. Like maybe it makes you feel like you've arrived, that you've kind of reached a level of status or importance that allows you to buy a Gucci wallet. It could be, as you say, about signaling to other people that is the job to be done. And your question about how deep do you go on this? Again, this is where it gets kind of in the weeds and gets a little tricky. The insight that you mentioned earlier is that it will vary by segment. That has to be a part of this. So there is not a job to be done by a Gucci wallet. There are several segments who would consider buying a Gucci wallet, and each of them may have a different job to be done by that product, right? So not everybody who's buying a milkshake from McDonald's is doing it to enjoy their commute. We're talking about one segment. One weird, possibly in need of therapy segment that's buying milkshakes in the morning. And that's the job that group wants done. But that's not true of all McDonald's customers by any means, right? And so the same, this jobs to be done has to happen at the level of a segment whose benefits we understand, whose values we understand.
Yeah. Again, I was thinking of another example earlier of booking a vacation. You're going on vacation, and what are you actually trying to do? It's more like I'm trying to relieve stress or manage my health even. But that's what I mean about it depends on the level of things,
yeah,
doesn't it?
And again, this is why I tie it back to targeting and positioning so often, because say that you wanted to build a resort, right? And you said, okay, well, we want to do a job for people who are on vacation. We're immediately up against the fact that there's not a job that people want on vacation. Some vacations are romantic getaways. Some are family bonding experiences. Some are kind of adventure, like take me out. Some are relaxation. All of these are jobs that someone might hire a vacation resort to do for them. And the same resort is not going to be able to do all of those well. So you need to choose your target, figure out what is important to them, and then position your offering so that you can do that specific job for that group of people very well.
Now, you see, the interesting thing then is, because I immediately started thinking about some of the holidays that I would have with the family, and there will be different jobs to be done.
Yes. Finish your part.
For each of the really members good. Of the family by going on vacation. And I can remember going around Disney with the kids and stuff like that and coming away and thinking, bloody hell, that wasn't relaxing. That, and in fact, that was very stressful.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, even when I say something like the job to be done by a vacation might be spending time with your family, that's even an oversimplification. Because so like when I vacation with my family, we tend to like to spend a lot of time together in relatively low-key settings. Like that's what my wife and my kids and I like to do. I have good friends who love their kids every bit as much as I love my kids, but for them, a good family vacation is something where somebody else is entertaining their children for at least part of the time. That's the job that they need done, right? And so there, within each of these, like to your point, we need to get down to a level of depth where we've got some insight in terms of what people want.
Good. Okay. So any further insights from you on our usual bit of what does this actually mean?
The so what is the jobs to be done framework. I'm happy that it's out there. I'm happy that it's gotten popular and that people are talking about it, because I think that it gets at the most fundamental insight in business, which is you need to understand somebody's motivations, ideally better than they do themselves. Because no one that they talked to at McDonald's was telling them, yeah, you should make this milkshake thicker because I have a sad, long commute and this is my way of avoiding my own thoughts. While I'm there. Nobody was saying that. No. And yet, because of some very clever research, they were able to kind of dig out that insight and realize that this is part of the motivation that people have when buying this product. That's the surest way to win in business, is to really, really understand the motivations of your customers. And the Jobs to be Done framework, it's not as intuitive as it seems on the surface. You need to really dig at this. You need to work at it. This is not one of those frameworks where it's like, oh, we can like sketch it out on a piece of paper and we're done. No, this one actually requires you to do research. It requires you to actually dig in and figure it out. But once you do, you can have these very powerful insights that can lead you to make really great decisions for serving your customers.
I like the framework because it's simple, it gets communicated, and the key thing for me is it makes you think about things from a different perspective, and it makes you get out of the loop of just thinking about the features and advantages and the benefits of your product. And it makes you realize that actually people are, their motivations for buying things can be very different, and therefore it gives you insights to how you should go and buy your milkshake in the morning and not crash the car. Maybe that's the job to be done, not to crash the car while drinking a milkshake.
Yeah, no, crashing the car is fine as long as the milkshake is thick.
We hope that's been of use to you today. If anybody wants to get in touch with Eckhard, then all of his details will be in the show notes. And if you've got a video, an audio that you'd like to send over to us, we're looking for new ideas, for new thoughts. We're glad to share them on our platform. and hopefully spread the word. So thanks very much, everybody. And we look forward to talking to you next week. Cheers.
Thanks very much for listening to the show today. We really hope you've enjoyed it. And if you have, it would be really great if you could leave us a review.
This has been The Intuitive Customer with Colin Shaw and Professor Ryan Hamilton. But it doesn't end here. Just go to beyondphilosophy.com/podcast to find all of our shows, access free tools and resources, and subscribe, won't you? That way you'll never miss a show. That's beyondphilosophy.com/podcasts. We look forward to talking with you next time on The Intuitive Customer.